Well, good. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat. My guest today is Gareth Allen. Gareth is a commercial funding specialist and also a business performance coach. So welcome, Gareth.
Thank you, Phil. Nice to be here.
Great. Some people might be wondering why we're sort of having a chat. And one of the things that really struck me was, as a business owner, there who engaged with, for example, the government support during the pandemic, there may be concerns about the future and in terms of repaying some of those loans, kind of what's next. And there may be some underlying concerns there as well. And so for our listeners, I felt it would be really good to have a chat with Gareth about some of these issues. So, Gareth, first of all, just introduce yourself and the work that you do.
Oh, thank you, Phil. Yeah, so I'm, well, I suppose I've got back in time a little bit. I used to work for Barclays Bank, so I used to be a bank manager, a commercial manager. So I looked after about 150 businesses. So I was, you know, your man at the bank, so to speak. And that gave me a nice grounding of dealing with different types of businesses, different sizes of businesses, different businesses in different phases of growth, different circumstances. So I was a generalist, as they say in the banking world.
Yeah.
And that stood me in good stead. I've been self-employed now for 8 years, I think. So I'm a commercial broker. I help businesses get money. And then I'm also a business coach. I help them spend it. That's how I put it. So, yeah, one of the things when we were chatting the other day, we were talking about all the coronavirus loans that the government launched in haste a couple of years ago. So you've got the, people might have heard of the CBILS, the Coronavirus Business Interruption Loan Scheme. I'm not going to say that again, CBILS.
Yes.
And then the bounce back loans that came out shortly after that. Now, when the CBILS was launched, there was obviously a great deal of hurry up. People were panicking. Well, no, that's probably a negative word. People were very worried with good reason. Their businesses had come to an end. And so the government launched these schemes. But the banks were, quite rightly from their point of view, very cautious about just throwing this money out the door. And so there were a lot of hoops to jump through. And it sort of defeated the object of being quick.
Yes. Yeah.
And so in order, the bounce back loan was a reaction to that. So the bounce back loans were limited to £50,000, but they were so easy to get. I mean, you literally just went to your bank's website, filled in a form, and you got the money. Now, you could argue, I would argue that perhaps went a little bit too far the other way. It was too easy to get. And so, yeah, well, we know there was a lot of fraud. And, it would seem that we, the taxpayers, are going to lose a lot of money on that. However, that's a separate debate. I don't really want to talk about that today. What I wanted to talk about were the people who had taken those loans in good faith for the right reasons, because their business was struggling and they used the money to keep themselves afloat. And what is the impact of that decision on their ongoing trading now, 2 years on?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Gareth. And I would imagine that for some of those people, particularly in the, hospitality sector, that was hit pretty hard, really. I'm not saying that others weren't, but they certainly were hit pretty hard. And it didn't really help when we sort of partially came out of a lockdown, then go back into a lockdown. And so there's that uncertainty, for one, and how people handle uncertainty, but also at the same time, are they going to survive? And I know that some, unfortunately, didn't. But others who were hoping for that support and receive some of that support, but now potentially could be hit hard again in terms of repaying that that loan.
Well, let me remind you of a phrase that we heard a lot a couple of years ago. Do you remember when we talked about flattening the curve?
Yes.
So the idea was everyone's ill. The NHS can't cope. We'll flatten the curve by stopping people going out, stopping people going to the pub, locking down. And so there was almost this admission that a lot of people are going to get ill, a lot of people are going to be hospitalized, but we don't want them all to be on the same week. We flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Now, I think that was basically what the government wanted to do with business as well.
Yeah.
So rather than the entire hospitality sector go bust in the space of a month, they said, right, we'll throw some money at this problem and we'll keep those businesses afloat. But I think, although they would never admit this, there was a sort of admission that we're not saving these businesses forever. We're flattening the curve. And so I'm projecting back 2 years here, there will be a lot of these businesses that will ultimately go bust. We're just slowing that process down.
Yeah.
So that's really of no help to your individual listeners. I'm talking about, you know, policymakers here. But if we break it down to the individuals, you've got, well, I don't want this to become just number crunching, but let me just give you some numbers. If you've got a business that borrowed £50,000 on a bounce back loan, the way the scheme worked was essentially you didn't pay anything for a year, then you would start repayments and it would be 5-year repayment term. So it was a 6-year loan effectively. Now, in the time since then, those repayments have been delayed, so people are not paying that back yet. So again, we flattened that curve.
Yeah.
But ultimately, when those repayments start, you know, I do the maths for you. If it's £50,000 over 5 years with the interest rate they gave you, it's about £880 a month, roughly.
Wow.
So that's a big old chunk of money.
Yes. Yeah.
So at some point, these businesses are going to have to start paying that back.
Yeah.
Now, normally, when a business borrows money, it's to do something positive with that money. Maybe they're buying a property, maybe they're growing and taking on some staff, maybe they're expanding into a new market. There's all sorts of reasons that they would borrow money. But as a result of borrowing that money, they then spend it on that growth. And then there's a monthly liability. They've got to pay off this loan.
Yeah.
But the trade-off is, in order, because we have invested that money in our business, it's grown, there'll be more profit, and therefore we can afford these repayments. That is the calculation that a growing business makes.
Now,
in these cases, it wasn't about growth. It was about survival. So the equation's different. You've now got this huge repayment, this £880 a month that's going to come due at some point. And the business model hasn't changed. At best, you are doing as well as you were doing 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, just on that, I'm just thinking, Gareth, on that note, one of the things I observed, and I would imagine many others will have as well, was... in some cases, businesses were actually reducing their workforce because they just didn't. I suppose they were looking at their overall expenditure and trying to sort of keep that down. But in a hospitality trade, and I know we're sort of focusing on that, but these actually matters actually concern many different businesses. Yeah. But on that trade, one of the things I noticed was because of a reduced workforce. Service wasn't necessarily quite the same, and you can imagine some businesses where people are saying, do you know what, it used to be great, but it's not so good now, so I'm not going to go there again. So they've got that sort of added impact of the perception of the consumer coming and using their services. If service isn't as quick or as efficient as it was before, then people are going to sort of kind of vote with their feet and go elsewhere.
And we have short memories, don't we, as consumers? You know, I think if you remember, there was a lot of sympathy and a lot of empathy. And, you know, I can remember going to places and just being really patient and really, you know, these guys are doing their best. And, you know, I would like to think I'm quite a patient person. But collectively, I mean, we sort of, that's we have short memories and suddenly it's like, well, come on, where's my coffee?
Yes, yeah, exactly. But it doesn't help the business owner who is literally, you know, from day to day just trying to survive, as you say. And also people who whether not so much the service provided, or there might be different issues there, but certainly where people are producing products of a kind, being able to get raw materials, and so there was lots of other hurdles to have to overcome that were added to the mix because we had things like Brexit to contend with at the same time. So it's not really helped the business that is literally trying to sort of grow and survive and create employment for others.
I think, you know, I don't want to, there's a whole rabbit hole of Brexit we could go down, isn't there? But let's not get stuck into that. But I think the point is that there are always circumstances that make doing business difficult. You know, we operate in a global environment that is, you know, ever changing. So there will always be external factors. The point is that what's different here for these businesses in this situation is that suddenly now you've got this debt. Now you've got this debt and this repayment burden that it kept you alive, but you didn't invest it in anything. You know, it's not made your business twice as profitable. It's just made your business the same, but you've still got this debt, and therein lies the problem.
My thoughts are for the business owners looking to the future. We put certain things to one side, but there again is that kind of uncertainty. So when the loans are required to be repaid, and you're talking about that 800 and some pounds per month that they've got to find on a regular basis, and then there's these other factors that, we can be faced with these at many different stages. However, right now, it's what can I do as a business? How can I sort of, or should I consider, is this time to move out of the business? Because that was something we kind of touched on.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's obviously, I'm going to answer your question, Phil, but I'm going to caveat my answer here with every circumstance is different, and people, you know, this is not general advice to anyone. But essentially, you've got three options, really. Option one is muddle along. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have to start paying this debt back, but you can just about afford it. So carry on with the business and muddle along. Perhaps that's a negative expression. Organic growth is the industry speak.
Exactly.
The second thing is to double down, if you like. So borrow more, restructure the debt, invest some money in what you want to do so that you can grow your business, you can grow your profits quicker, and therefore you can service this extra debt that you've got. Now, if you're going to do that, you obviously need a bit of a plan. You can't just, you don't want to just throw another £50,000 into the hole.
Yeah,
it's got to be used for something that's going to grow the business.
Yeah,
because the option three is ultimately to say this isn't working, and that's a very difficult thing for anyone to accept. And again, this is my caveat. I'm not saying everyone pack in. What I'm saying is that if you were in this indebted situation, you're £50,000 in the hole, and your business model is not working.
Yeah,
then borrowing £50,000 more and doing the same thing is not going to work. It's just going to flatten the curve. It's going to delay the inevitable.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just thinking, in terms of what's currently happening and what's been happening, and also your own experience with some of your clients, Gareth, what would you say is the most sort of common things now that you're seeing that are challenges to businesses, and where you are able to sort of help and support them?
Well, I think the big challenge at the moment is cash flow, as people are, you know, we sort of look around now and we think, oh, the world's returned to normal now. But as you said, you know, there are lots of other external factors that have affected business in the last couple of years. And yes, there are no more coronavirus restrictions as we record this at the start of March. But, you know, we're still limping along. We're still recovering. And so cash flow is a big problem for people. So, you know, people, how can you look at that? Again, there's the option of simply borrowing a lump sum of money and using that to plug the gap. There's invoice finance. So you're familiar with factoring, where people can fund that gap between invoice and payment. And I do think that's going to be a big growth area in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Enable people to get cash.
I'll let you finish what you're saying, but I'd like to come back to that once you've finished.
Well, no, let's do that, because I think, you know, invoice finance as a sector has had a tough couple of years, frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you can get £50,000 from your bank, no questions asked, then why do you need alternative finance? So they've had a quiet couple of years compared to before. But as I say, I think that will be a good way for, not every business, again, this is not generic advice. I think a lot of businesses, that will be a good way of helping them to get back, get their heads above water, get back in the black, and keep the cash flowing through the business.
Yeah. What would you say are some of the, both in terms of the advantages and the pitfalls of factoring? Because with all of these things, there's always things to consider, aren't there?
Sure.
In terms of invoicing, it's given that, you know, it works when people pay their invoices. Sure. But if everybody's experiencing these challenging times and invoices are delayed or invoices are not paid, how does that impact
Well, let's just very sort of factory 101 here. Invoice finance is, you know, if I sell you, you know, 100 tins of beans, and then I send you my invoice, and we're on 30 day terms. So I send you my invoice for 100 quid, and 30 days later you're going to pay me.
Yeah.
That's bad. I need my 100 quid. My cash flow is a problem. So if I get an invoice finance account with a lender, then essentially I send you that invoice for 100 quid. The bank pays me 80 quid on day one. And then when you settle up, I get the rest. Now, obviously, I'm going to pay the bank for the privilege, and that's the cost. So what are the downsides? There's a cost. Of course there is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that if you've got, if you are a business that has lengthy payment terms, then working that into your profit margin and saying, well, okay, if I'm going to end up paying 2 or 3% to Barclays or whoever for this invoice finance, then maybe I add 2 or 3% to my, you know, my retail price.
Yeah, I suppose that's one way of doing that.
Yeah, that is a downside, but the upside is, it's, well, the obvious upside is you get cash flow into the business, which is clearly, you know, cash is king, and so on and so forth. It's all well and good having lots of customers, having them buy things, sending them invoices, but unless they actually pay you, then, you know, you can't pay your rent, you can't pay your staff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I suppose that is the downside, is making sure that the people you're dealing with are going to actually pay their bills. And I know things can happen along the journey, but
I think that is a it's a really, really important question, but it is a separate thing, I think. Because if you forget invoice finance for a minute. If you're just sending people invoices and they're paying you, however slowly they're paying you, if you've agreed 30 days and they don't pay you for 7 weeks, that's bad. Regardless of invoice finance.
Yeah.
And so tightening up your credit control is a really important aspect for businesses. And it's a difficult thing for businesses. If you've got a customer, you don't want to lose that customer. You don't want to be on the phone to them, harassing them. I get that's a difficult conversation.
Yeah.
So maybe it's worth having someone do that for you if you've got a member of staff, so that you kind of outsource that negative bit of the relationship, if you like. Or you can get virtual assistants if you're not that big an organization. You can get them to come in and make those unpleasant phone calls for you. but I think there's two elements to this. There's the financial element, but there is also that emotional. It's difficult. Those calls are difficult. No one likes making them.
It's like walking a tightrope, really. Because you're right, you don't want to lose your clients because you're harassing them in one sense, but actually you're having to do that because you need people to pay on time.
Well, Phil, my question is, do you need that person to pay on time? And if the answer to that is yes, then they are not a good customer because they're not doing that.
Mm.
So I know you don't want to lose a customer, but sometimes that might not be a bad thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is that
as long as you can replace them with someone who pays you on time, then
yeah, exactly. The hardest thing I think, Gareth, sometimes is to say no to a customer.
Yeah.
You know, when you're deciding, is this going to be a good customer for me? And especially if you've got these other things that we've already mentioned going on in the background, and you realise, okay, I'm going to have a sizable amount of money to pay each month to pay off my obligations, but at the same time, I've got a business to think about, and I've got to think about the future. It's a big challenge on business owners these days.
And again, it's that's a really, like, you can lay out numbers, you can spell out the numbers and write a spreadsheet, and you say, well, actually, I'm better off without this customer. But that doesn't make the conversation any easier. It's an emotional, it's a difficult emotionally.
It is, and especially when you want your business to succeed. But sometimes we do have these tough choices. Mm. Just in wrapping up, Gareth, I mean, what would you say? What would be an encouraging thing to say to our listeners at this moment in time, or a top tip that you'd like to leave them with?
Well, okay, encouraging. I would say that, you know, these things shall pass. I'm 46 years old. I'm not that old. I'm not like Gandalf the Grey here. But I've worked through one recession. I know people who've done two or three. We've been here before. You know, these things shall pass. So no matter how up against it people are, then, you know, you've got a few years yet before you retire. So we'll figure it out. we'll figure it out. I suppose that's my soothing words.
Yeah, but, definitely. I would add to that and say there's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Even if one of the decisions is to pack it in and do something different.
Well, that was going to be my I'm not sure you could call it a tip, but my advice is to try and be unemotional about the decisions that you're making, because you know, losing a business can be like losing a family member, and it's a really, you know, people grieve. It's a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
But if it's going to happen, then sometimes euthanasia is the right way to do it, rather than pouring all of your money into. I'm mixing my metaphors here, but hopefully you get the idea that what I mean. So sometimes, you know, that might be getting some advice from your bank manager, from a coach, from whoever it might be. Just maybe someone that you know in business who you trust their opinion, and just getting someone who can look beyond the emotion and say, what is the right thing here?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Sometimes a fresh pair of eyes on the situation is a good thing. And so I hope this has been beneficial for our listeners. Gareth, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate that.
Thanks, fellow.
All the best with your work as well. And I just said to our listeners, if you want to know any more information, please drop a message on the website, Aurum Gold, and I will put you in touch with the relevant people, including Gareth. And stay tuned for another episode of Wisdom Chat. Thank you very much, Gareth.
Thanks, Phil.